The board of Caxton and CTP Publishers and Printers Limited today announced that they will be closing down their market division, their magazine division, pardon me. The titles which will be affected include Bona, Country Life, Essentials, Garden and Home, Woman and Home, and a few others. Basically, it seems that demand for online content has far superseded that for magazines, and it's no longer economical for publishers to produce magazines. Well, to break down what he thinks are the issues in this particular story, I'm joined on the line by Anton Haber. He's a professor of journalism at Wits University. Thanks very much, Professor, for joining us. So what do you understand to be the key reasons for Caxton's latest decision?
Look, we know that the magazine industry around the world and in this country has been in some trouble and some decline for some years. And one could have predicted an end to most magazines in print and the movement online over a couple of years. But it seems the pandemic has accelerated the crisis, which is driven, I think, mostly by the loss of advertising.
Yes, that's what I was. Going to just interject there to say, is, you know, why now? So it was basically punctuated by the fact that people are seeing that the future is going to be bleak, so they might as well cut their losses now.
I think you're fundamentally correct that I think everyone knew where they were headed, and that the move online had to take place over time, and the current drop in advertising, the sudden drop of advertising because of the lockdown and the pandemic, meant that they made the decision sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and of course, just about 5 days ago, we heard from Associated Media Publishing a similar story. They're the publishers of magazines like Cosmopolitan, House and Leisure, Good Housekeeping, basically also coming out to say that they're no longer going to be publishing.
That's correct. And one must emphasize what we're losing here. You know, some of these titles, like Farmers Weekly, is over 100 years old, started in 1911. So you're losing not just a magazine title, but a cultural institution.
Yes.
Something that's part of our society and our community and our history, for better or for worse, for a long, long time.
Fundamentally, what does this mean for the journalism sector?
It means the loss of more jobs, the loss of more outlets. It emphasizes the crisis journalism is in that there's fewer jobs and fewer outlets and fewer opportunities for the practice of journalists. We should all worry about the fact that at a time when we have a pandemic of disinformation on top of the health pandemic,
yes,
we're going to have fewer people who do the fact-checking and the verification and the editing and the contextualization. It's very concerning. Not so, you know, the loss of titles or the shift to online is inevitable, but it's the journalism that we lose, and which is quite difficult to sustain online in current conditions, that we should really worry about.
Yeah, so quality is going to suffer. And also, just an observation as a journalist myself, that when you have new recruits, people don't actually have time, because of deadlines and all of that, to actually, you know, sit with a person and give them their time and show them the ropes. So you just have to just be thrown into the deep end and get on with it. So that's also a loss of quality there.
I think that's absolutely right. I think there's financial pressures have meant there's less and less investment in talent, in skill, in professionalism, and in all aspects of journalism, and that we all suffer as a result of that.
Yeah. So what do you say to your students, your journalism students, about what kind of opportunities they can try and get out there in a new era, you know, the fourth the fourth industrial revolution and all of that? What opportunities are there for journalists, and where should they be trying to hone their skills?
We are finding a demand for skilled young people who can deal with information and communication and have the skills of journalists. There's no question that the skills that journalists have are in greater demand than ever. But the nature of the job and the places they find jobs and how they work, we have to constantly adjust to a changing market. So every year we find we have to say to ourselves, how do we change what we do to prepare people to go into the job market? And I can tell you that it's a tough thing to do because it's changing all the time. And if you ask anyone to predict what the journalism market and the skills required and how it will look in a few years, nobody can really answer that question.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of flexibility and adaptation, teaching core values and core skills, media skills, which are invaluable to everyone.
Hmm. You know, just looking at the Caxton statement, they do say that if anybody's interested in buying their titles, they're more than willing, you know, to have a discussion. But the reality is, who would be interested right now? Who has the capital to buy magazines which another company has not managed to, you know, to do well with?
Well, you know, Rupert Murdoch still makes a great deal of money from traditional media, so it's not impossible. It's tough, but it's not impossible to eke some profits and see some value there. I should also point out that they did issue a later clarification that they are going to keep and work on the Farmers Weekly title in another form. Because it clearly there's lasting value in that title and that market.
Oh yes, agriculture is sexy these days. Professor Anton Harbour, thank you so much for your time, sir. That was Professor Anton Harbour. He's a professor of journalism at Wits University.